This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving, Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of The Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're back to recording in our houses together because of possible exposure.
Dun, dun, dun.
We shouldn't laugh because this shit's insane that we're fucking talking about this again.
It really, like, that sigh that just came out was so real. I almost, though, I don't know why, maybe this is my anxiety, but I almost felt prepared for this.
That is so your anxiety. See, okay. This is where we're different. I'm like, we're done, man.
Yeah.
I got in my head. We're like, oh, vaccine rates are going up. Things are going good. But you know me. I'm a bit of an optimist.
But this is why we work so well together. Because then I just bring you back down to earth, right? And to let you know, like, oh, no, this shit is coming back. But, you know, it's helpful in some ways and not helpful in other ways. In this case, the anxiety was really helpful because I didn't get too excited.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also, you know, I love my house. And so if I get locked down here again, I'm just going to be chilling.
And you have a new kitten.
I have a new kitten. Oh, you know what I was going
to
say?
If you did not see, if you don't follow our Instagram and you didn't see Jen's new cat. Oh, my God. We have to post more pictures of Nelly.
She's so cute. Also, during my sessions, I don't know if anyone can see the video, but whoever's watching this video, my cat jumps up onto this chair. So she pops her head up and her hair is looking all wild.
Yeah. She's frazzled, man. She looks like frazzled.
Frazzled. So frazzled. And so I think that it probably distracts my clients from themselves being frazzled. Right. Right. But I think it's helpful. It's like having a therapy cat.
Oh my gosh. Where is she right now?
Oh my God. I see her. She just walked in.
Oh, I can't wait to bring her up.
Listen,
bring her up.
She'll
bring
pop
her up.
Her head. We have some really exciting news that we have to announce. We have expanded into other states.
Yes. And not Shrink Chicks, but The Therapy Group.
The Therapy
Group. Because The Shrink Chicks is just still us.
It's still us and will probably always be us.
But our business, The Therapy Group, where all of our amazing clinicians are, is now in Illinois and Colorado.
We're so excited. And you know what? We felt a need in different states. And also, when clinicians reach out to us and they share our mission, it's so hard not to bring them on because we really believe in bringing on clinicians that are great practitioners and also down to earth and share the same mission. So anyway, if you are in Colorado or Illinois, you can reach out and connect with our new clinicians.
Yeah, if they're looking for a therapist, individual and couples and families.
There you go.
Hey, speaking of therapy, let's talk about narrative therapy.
I love that.
You like my segue?
Transition. That was beautiful. You're so good at it. Do you practice them?
Yes, I do. At night, I stay up. I wait till everyone's asleep in my house. And then I stand in the mirror and I talk about different segues.
I don't fucking do that. I truly could picture that, though, you know, where you just like stand in the mirror and practice. You know, sometimes I know I'm getting off topic because your segue was so good. I apologize. Yeah. But do you ever like think about a conversation in your head when you're like in the shower?
every time I'm in the shower, but it's usually like conflict where I wish that I said something different.
Yes.
Like I wish like someone, yeah. like, someone was a jerk to me in public and I like come back with a remark afterwards in the shower 2 weeks later.
And you're like, I should have done this. Mine's yes. either that or like prepping for a conversation that actually just never happens.
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh, that's a big one too, right? Oh, right. the rehearsal of conversations, right?
It's always in the shower too. It's just the time you have to think and you're just like scrubbing your hair, getting all revved up.
And while you're thinking of that script, that narrative, maybe.
There you go. Dun, 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 dun. Another one. Look, there it is.
Let's talk about narrative therapy.
I love it.
So there is a ton of different theories and different types of therapy, right? And I have no idea why we decided to do this one today.
I actually love narrative therapy.
So do I, but I don't even know how this came up in general. We decided to do this, but I'm excited to share it with people that don't know.
And I think that, okay, we once again have gotten so much out of going to grad school and learning all these theories. And I believe for the most part, like most therapists are pretty eclectic in what they use theory wise. And mm-hmm. we are pretty eclectic in what we use.
Because and it's so not one size fits all, right? Like exactly. everyone's different or everyone needs different approaches.
Exactly. And some people like attach themselves to certain approaches more than others. They just like feel more right. And so narrative therapy, we want to talk about, we want to give you all the secrets. And this is one of those secrets of narrative therapy.
Yes. So basically the whole premise of narrative therapy is that it separates a person from the problem. And the idea is that we all have these stories about ourselves. Maybe growing up in my family, I was always the easy one. So now in adulthood, I can't ask for help because that's not my role, right? Like I can't, you know, make a wave. Or maybe in my family growing up, I was always the quote unquote bad one. And so then in adulthood, I always assumed that I am in trouble or getting ashamed, right? So basically like we have these narratives and that's how we see ourselves. So those sort of things sort of take over this entire idea of who we are. And really, the point of narrative therapy is to encourage people to like rely on their own skills and to minimize problems that exist in their lives. And so that might sound like, wait, well, do we want to minimize this? But the bigger thing is that you are more than this one thing you have going on, right? Even if it's a huge thing, even if it's that, I'm working through trauma. You're a lot more than being a survivor of trauma. You're yeah. also a human being or a sibling or a child or a parent or any of these different things. So basically, when we give these stories meaning and the stories help to shape a person's identity.
Wow.
Yeah. And so basically, so created by this guy, Michael White and David Epstein, and their entire point was for it to be non-pathologizing, empowering, and like super collaborative between a therapist and a client. And part of this is from this like third wave of therapy that it's now very, very far away from this old psychoanalysis Freudian thing that all the therapists like is asking.
Right. And it pathologizes, right? So like yes. some of those like old world ways of doing therapy really pathologize a client, right? Where the therapist is a blank slate and anything that you say to the therapist is something about you and it's something to be analyzed. And so narrative therapy is something that empowers you to know that you actually already have the tools within you to make those changes. One of the things I really love about narrative is there's a piece of, I'm not fully sure what they call it in narrative therapy. It might be the same thing, but confirmation bias, which I think is really important, something that helps us build our stories. So if we have this story about ourselves, just
there she is. The kitten just jumped up.
Quick intermission. Kitten jumped up. And this probably won't be the last time. Thank you. So one of the things that I think is really important is that when we have this story about ourselves, right? When we carry the story, right? If I'm the bad child, if I'm always the one getting in trouble, then our minds tend to remember and file away the times in which we have gotten in trouble and the times in which maybe someone told us we were bad, as opposed to the times in which we did something good or we followed the rules. And so those times will be forgotten. And the times that fit with our story will be remembered. And so this is what kind of fucks us up, is that we start to remember all of these times that fit with this story, and it helps further build the story and reinforce the story in ourselves. And so throughout time, we're remembering and reinforcing that for ourselves. And as we get older and we start to do our therapeutic work, you're like, what are you talking about? No, like, I am this, because here is all the evidence to prove that this is true. When really there actually has been so much evidence to disprove that, but you just haven't remembered it.
Yep. So, okay. So the techniques of what it does is really to help people objectify their problems, framing these problems within the larger sociocultural context, and teaching people how to make room for other stories, right? And so one of the things they do is identifying these sparkling events, they call them, right? So it's like
a
time that the narrative doesn't go with the one you keep telling yourself. So if that narrative is everyone always leaves me or nobody wants me around, then identifying the times where that actually wasn't proven to be true, right? So maybe the time that you were invited to the get together, but you said no. You know, like, all of these different things is, how do I play into this, and then how do I shape it? I will do an example of someone who has maybe like a Cinderella narrative, right? I always have to do the work and no play. I always have to be the responsible one. I always am the, everyone else gets to celebrate life, and I always have to stay at home cleaning, right? I think this is incredibly common for a lot of moms.
Yes.
To feel this way, right? That's a story you're telling yourself. There can be tons of times that things fit into those stories, but do we also discount the times that don't? That it's way more complex than one story.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, a lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon. Or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
And I think the thing is that it feels more comfortable to remember the times in which it fits with our story, right? To be able to disprove that and say, oh, wait, here are all these times that actually disprove this story. It almost shakes up our identity and shakes up the comfort that we have, that we've built in that identity, even if that identity isn't serving us, right? So, you know, if you start to do narrative work, and here is Kitty again, I apologize for the interruption. if you start to do that work to be able to change that narrative, it can be scary. Like, it can be really hard, because who am I without this story? You know, and so changing that identity. But I think part of it is recognizing, like, how is this story serving me? Is it serving me? Or is it, you know, is it affecting me in certain ways? Like, and it can even be like very small examples. So if you have a narrative of like, oh, I'm trying to think of a good example. I can only sleep until like this time, or I can only do this kind of work at this time. And when it hits this time, I can't finish the work, or I can't, I can't see people. Or if you have like a very rigid idea about this is the only time that I'm able to be productive, then you also start to act in ways that reinforce that story. Right. So you're like, okay, well, I can only do this at this time. And it keeps you from expanding your tools or expanding your day, expanding the things that work for you by saying, well, what other times can I do this work? Or what other times can I, you know, that it ends up putting you into a very rigid schedule, as opposed to like looking outside of that and saying, okay, wait, maybe I can do things at different times. I'm sorry, is my kitten distracting?
You know who she looks just like is Bellatrix Lestrange from Harry Potter.
I have to say, I've not watched.
You're not
all the
a
Harry
Potter,
Potter
fan.
Movies.
But now
is that worry, is she?
Don't worry, because you know that I'll make a collage and I will find a great picture of this, and then we'll show it on. Hold on, I gotta. I think that's her name.
Bellatrix
Lestrange. Oh, wait, hold on.
Bellatrix Lestrange is jabbing her claws into my shoulder. Oh, wow.
Tell me that does not look just like your cat.
You're right. Oh, my God. Look at you. You are a star.
You're a star. Harry Potter
star.
But, hey, let's use Harry Potter as an example just for fun here, right? Okay, so Harry Potter, right? So his was like, I always have to be the hero. So he kept being the hero every fucking thing. Not one year did this guy be like, maybe I need a break and I'll just concentrate on my studies, right? And then Ron Weasley is like, I'll always be his sidekick. So I'll never get the girl. And then he ends up, by the last book, incredibly resentful of Harry because he's always seen as the sidekick, right?
Hold up. I'm sorry to interrupt. Have you read all of the Harry Potter books?
Yeah, like 50 fucking times. I was that person who waited at midnight at the bookstore. I wasn't dressed up, but I waited. Jen, well, first of all, I'm like a speed reader. Like, I love, grad school killed reading for me. I mean, like, one of the things that I have like mourned a lot is like, I have had like such a difficult relationship with reading for pleasure.
Yeah.
Yes,
that.
I've read every single Harry Potter multiple times, and as exactly when it came out.
Wow. Okay. This is, you know what? You learn something. The more you talk to your friends,
the more you learn,
more
right?
You learn.
But J.K. Rowling is still transphobic, so we still don't like her anymore. But
right,
yes,
no, she's gone.
But
wouldn't read those books today.
Yes, no, I probably still would. They're still great fucking books. But okay, so Ron Weasley had this idea, right? So, like, he had this narrative. So then by the end of it, he's holding this shit against Harry, and Harry's like, "What are you doing, man? You're making this all up in your head." So all of us have stories, even people in the storybooks.
Well, I was going to say, but didn't J.K. Rowling create? Okay, so this I have a connection. Ready?
Yes.
J.K. Rowling created that story for them.
Yes.
Right. Yes. And so so in similar ways.
Our parents create stories for us.
Families, our parents can create.
Well, and society, right? Like every different layer in context, right? So like, here's a story about me because of the way that I look, because the way that I sound, because the way that I perform in school. Like, society kind of gives us these stories. And then we have a choice, which is to keep telling ourselves them or say, you want to know what? This isn't actually me. I'm a lot more than this.
Right. You know, and so I think if we talk about, what would you say, a story, what's a story that you told yourself that you had to question? I have one for me.
Okay, you go first.
If it's easier.
I always have to talk.
I know. Well, that's why I'm trying to make it personal.
Yes.
You know? So I would say, like, growing up in school, I wouldn't say I was very good in school. I mean, I still got A's and B's, but like, I bullshitted a lot. Like, it mm-hmm. was not, did not come naturally for me. I wasn't that organized. I, you know, I had to work really hard and once again, bullshitted a lot. I didn't feel that book smart because also my brother was very intelligent. Like, did really well, didn't have to try that hard. I think that's
academically,
absolutely. And I think that that's also something to note is that, like, if you have siblings, right, and it's so easy to compare yourself to your sibling, and that mm-hmm. almost creates your story within your family, right? Like, they're the smart one, they have to try a little bit harder.
Yeah.
And so I think that growing up, I always felt like, oh, you know, this is more difficult for me. This isn't as easy. I didn't really care about college that much. I was just like, why the fuck? I mean, I ended up going to college, but I was like, I don't, you know, this, it doesn't really interest me. It wasn't until grad school where I was doing something that I felt really connected to that I was able to change that narrative for myself. And also we learned about narrative therapy. So I started to understand that in a different way. And also understood the different levels of intelligence, right? To start to challenge that theory. And so, but I think that the idea that school was going to be hard for me made me bullshit a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Like, made me, you know, not really try that hard. Or
you didn't even give yourself a chance.
Didn't even give myself a chance because I already had this idea in my head. And so I was also acting in ways that reinforced that. And so then when I got to grad school and started to connect with what we were doing and felt really good about it, I could completely change my narrative by how connected and I was doing so much better in school and actually working really hard. And so that would be an example of something and something to think about within your family system. Was a story created based on, you know, maybe a sibling you had or maybe your parents' story about themselves, right? And how they responded to you during those times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. So, okay. I feel like another fun thing to think about with narrative is like, so Jen, if your life was a book, if we wrote your memoir.
Ooh, good.
Give me some names of the chapters and what the title would be.
Oh my God. My life was a book. Names of chapters. Okay. I would say for the first, this is beautiful. For the first, maybe like 16 years of my life.
Okay.
It would be maybe like quiet or internal or maybe like shy.
Okay.
Like there was a lot of kind of like internal processing that was happening.
Yep.
I would say between 16 and 25, my like coming out of my shell.
Okay. Growth. Yes.
Growth.
Being born, blooming. All right.
Blooming. Beautiful. I'm going to say them and then you can just name the titles.
Okay.
And then I would say 25. To now, No, 25 to 30.
Yeah.
Coming into my own.
Okay.
And then, and into then your I 30s. Would say into my 30s, like, I've arrived.
Mama's here.
Mama made it. How's that? How do we feel about that? It was kind of like, it really feels like a, like I was just coming out of my shell slowly.
Yes.
And just now I'm on a podcast, so.
That's so great. Really, okay.
I've arrived on this podcast because
so what's the name of the memoir? If we were to name your book now of your life, what are we naming it?
Maybe like Sheldon after my turtle.
Turtle.
A turtle named Turtle.
Great.
I had a turtle named Sheldon, and I just feel like maybe he, and RIP because he's no longer with us.
Yes.
Is maybe my spirit animal in this.
Do you watch Atypical?
No.
Oh my God, you have to watch it. It's so good. It's about a kid who's on the spectrum, but he has a turtle that he talks a lot to, and like they relate a lot. And like, I think you should actually watch the show. It's so good.
I'm telling you. I mean, that was pretty much me.
Yeah, that's
I would
you.
Have conversations with my turtle, and
yeah.
we just connect on a different level. Okay, your turn.
Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
What would you say a story is?
Okay, so my story, I think that I've always had myself, that's like sort of like immediate one, which I told you before, is like rejection or being left out. Or like, so wait, actually, let me change it. It's like that I am disposable, like that there's nothing like unique about me, right? That like I like bring it back to this like childhood memory of I buried my favorite Barbie on the beach. Buried on the beach, right? Just like, you know, like when you're a kid, you're just like digging holes, you put shit in holes, I don't know. And then like we couldn't find the Barbie anywhere, and it was like my favorite thing. I was like very connected to it, and my parents were just like, all right, we'll just buy you a new one. And I was like, what? You can't just buy a new one, that's my doll.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And so I feel like there's a thing for me that I feel like very easily replaced and like very easily rejected and abandoned. And so that's like a story I've had to work out of, because I've had a lot of confirmation bias around that. So if I was going to do my chapters,
I love them. I'm so excited.
Well, like I didn't talk until I was like 3 and a half. So like 0 to 3 would be like silence, which
our,
is like, that's late to talk.
Are,
I talked very late and now
like,
I have not stopped talking since.
You needed to prepare for all the talking that you were about to do in your life.
Yes. Yes. And then I feel like my elementary age was, I feel like from such a young age, it was like always about like trying to prove myself. Like I would say like across the board. I don't know about my elementary age, but definitely from, I would say ages 11 to 16, it would probably be hungry because I had an eating disorder, was very hungry.
That's a good, great, great chapter.
So like there is part of this that like my eating disorder took away from a lot of experiences. Yeah. You know, like when you spend that much time thinking about food and thinking about restricting food and having food and how that food feels in your body, like it takes up a lot of mental space.
Yeah.
So hungry.
Hungry.
Starved.
Yep. Yeah.
Starved. And then I would say like 16 to 18 was like I was starting to like come into my own a little bit and like figure some shit out. College, I would say, was like for me, like was very much about like pleasure and fun. Like college was like the first time that I mean, after the first 2 years of college, when I like really started to get into my major and left teaching, after that, and like started to like do some more specific classes, that was like a very different experience that I like started to like feel sure of myself and like feel like who I was a little bit. And then I would say, grad school and my 20s was about, like, I would say rooting. Like, I would call it like rooting myself into the earth figuring some shit out. And then I'd say my late 20s to my early 30s was fucking chaos. It's like becoming a new mom and moving to the suburbs. And like, all, like, there's a lot of stuff that was like a big reborn and a rediscovery. Yeah. Right. And so that's what I mean. Like, all these chapters are very, very different.
What's your full book called?
Fucked up. Feelings. I have so many feelings.
Feelings. Do you think that our books would make it, like, you know how they like display the new books? Definitely.
Our
not,
books
right?
would be very, very different.
Like in the back. They would be very different.
Yes, they'd be they very different be like... because we're two very different people. And that's when we talk about everything happens within context. To have you and I that went to grad school at the same time, had the same careers afterwards, have been on the same quote-unquote places in our life for the past decade together, and yet we're completely different, and our context has been very different.
Also, we have a theory that we've been at the same parties in college and never met.
Yes. And, like, we're very sure about this. Like, there's many that, like, we know we were in the same place.
So
we went to two different colleges too, though.
I went to two different colleges.
Uh-huh.
God, those are the days.
Yes.
No,
so
but it's true.
There's a part about like a way to track this is like if there is a certain subject that you feel like you have a lot of dichotomous thinking around, black and white, there's a story there. What's the story you're telling yourself if you're using words like always and never?
I think too, if you know, we love to talk about your inner monologue, right? Like, look at those thoughts, look at the ways in which you're talking to yourself about what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, and also the ways in which you're interpreting people's reactions to you, and to also take note about the things that you're remembering, right? The things that you're taking in. And if you take a look at your life and look back at it and say, okay, well, like, what have I been telling myself about who I am? How do I think that other people see me? I think that's a big one, right? Because we tend to...
Well, often the story we have about ourselves is very different than the story that other people have about you, right? I would imagine the story other people have always had about me is, like, extreme confidence. Like, I, like...
Yes.
Really...
Yeah,
like, seem like I have extreme confidence, and I am pretty fucking confident now, but never like was that a thing always. But I would imagine the story other people told would be that,
right? But you were very clearly telling yourself a different story, and so that's something to look at, is like, what do you think other people, and also wait, sorry, I'm backtracking, did you think that other people thought that about you at the time?
No, I think everyone thought I was a fake and a phony.
Exactly. Right.
A fake and a phony. I wish I never laid eyes on you.
What's that from? Greece? That was just came out of like the depths of your soul. Is that Rizzo? Ooh, just popped up there.
What is Sandra D? She says it to Danny Zuko once he's like a jerk to her at the movie parking lot. She's like, you're a fake and a phony and I wish I never laid eyes on you. She has an Australian accent.
Right. Did he try to grab her boob?
Okay, he did, but he also was like being like a jerk in front of his friends, right? Like it was about, you know, he was like trying to show off.
I mean, like, good for her.
I know, right? Wow, empowerment.
Stand up, right? It's wild.
If that was me when I was 16, I would have been like, "Go and just grab my boob. I don't know.
Go for it.
Don't be mad at me.
I don't know what to do?" Right. Greece is really, really, really just paving the way. No, but I think something to think about, getting back to it after that beautiful movie quote, is that something to think about is, what are the ways in which you think other people think about you, right? Like, what do you think that other people are saying about you? Because most likely that's the story that you're telling yourself about who you are, not actually what other people are thinking about you. Like, that might be your story. And so to ask yourself, is that story that I tell myself, is it helpful for me? You know, how does it affect me? Right. So if I'm telling myself, oh, I'm lazy, and everyone else thinks I'm lazy, and because of that, I, you know, I'm not doing work that I want to do, or I'm not taking care of the things that I need to take care of, right? Like, I'm not doing my taxes, or I'm not whatever, the annoying self-care things that we have to do, because you're telling yourself you're lazy, right? Yeah. Is it reinforcing that for yourself? And the fact of the matter is that if you change that story, if you work on that story and recognize, no, that's just a story that you've been fed, and also a story that you have continued to tell yourself.
Yeah.
And you get to change that. And you also get to find the ways in your life that you have acted in ways that it does not fit that. Mm-hmm. And that isn't your experience.
Okay, so now you know a little bit about narrative therapy. So if you're looking for a therapist and you're hanging out in psychology today and you're like, oh, those people keep saying narrative therapy, here is a little bit into it. But if this related to you, like, we want you to really think about, what is the story I tell myself? What do I think is what? And also, what's the story I talk about other people? When we get into this mindset, we also then can make up narratives about other people that aren't necessarily true, right? Like, this person doesn't actually want to be my friend, so I read between the lines of everything. This chick's actually not into me, so I make up all the reasons of why she had to cancel our date even though her dog was dying. You know, like, all these different things, right? Like, what is, like, the overreading we do? But we have to do Dear Em and Jen.
I know. I'm looking for it right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Do your... like humming that you do, maybe like a Jeopardy. Do like a Jeopardy hum.
Do, do, do. Is that it?
That I think that's it. You know, me and my husband watch Jeopardy probably every night.
I know. I think it's very funny that that's like a thing.
And we battle. We battle every night.
Jen, are you watching White Lotus?
I love White Lotus.
Okay, and if you aren't, you should. You should watch White Lotus on HBO Max. It's very good.
So good.
And I get free HBO with my phone plan, so I recommend you check that as well. Hold on, let me find it. I'm also looking for...
Can I get on your... I found it.
Okay.
Okay.
Do the
Dear
first
one. Em and Jen. Yeah. That's what I was going to do. Dear Em and Jen, I'm struggling with a battle. I'm wanting and feeling I need to leave my job due to high stress, anxiety, burnout, and wanting a career change that matters after COVID. I'm in marketing and feel I'm just tricking people into spending money, but I also need the financial stability. I have bills, rent, et cetera, no real savings I can rely on. What do I do, and how do I manage being completely over my job but feeling trapped for the money while I figure out my next move? Thank you for all that you do. You don't realize how much you two are appreciated, and not just in Philly. Thank you.
So sweet.
So nice.
Okay, I have a lot of thoughts. Do you want to start?
No, you start, go.
Okay, so one of my thoughts is that you already know what you're doing, right? So burnout is also like, something that helps with burnout is the detaching from the emotions with it, right? So sit here and say, all right, you want to know what? I know that I'm already mentally out of this career, but I need 6 months to get my finances together before I make my next step. Just because I think sometimes we want to jump ship immediately because, like, fucking of course, and we hate what we're doing. We want to get the fuck out now, right? But the other career is not going to go away. The other opportunity is probably not going to go away, whether that's you're going to go back to grad school or you're going to, like, go into a different, you know, nonprofit sector or something like that, right? To sit here and think about, like, okay, what would that look like for me to prioritize this next goal. So maybe that means in the next 6 months to like budget like really seriously to save up to make this switch. And what does it look like to then emotionally detach from this job in those 6 months, right? Meaning that I don't answer emails after 5 o'clock. I do not check my phone on the weekends. You know what I mean? Like putting up like extreme boundaries and probably much more than you've ever had before to manage the next 6 months to a year to get to that next stepping stone.
We did an episode on burnout and talk about recovering from burnout. And the tough thing is that when you're in a job that is just wearing you down, you feel really burnout from, and you're like, okay, I want to make this move. You're almost so exhausted that making the move feels even more exhausting. Mm-hmm. And so I love what you said, Em, in terms of setting boundaries and, you know, making a budget, creating a goal for yourself. And if you can find the time to help yourself recover from that burnout so that you can move towards these goals, I think is so, so important. And I know that that's really hard to do when you're so worn down and you can't really function. And so what that means is, what can you give to yourself in the time that you do have, right? Where are you devoting time to things outside of work that maybe aren't serving you? And so setting boundaries at work, but also setting boundaries outside of work so that you can do what you can do to take care of yourself so that you can start to recover from that burnout and put energy towards the goal of moving to a different career. Mm-hmm. And my guess is this might not be possible, what I'm about to say, but also if you want to, I don't know, like start your own business or like start something on the side, that there's the possibility of doing that at the same time as doing your job and like moving in that direction as you start to create more money in that side gig and mm-hmm. might give you a little bit more stability. But I understand that recovering from that burnout is might be the first step to that in order to move towards a different goal.
Yeah. And that's it for the episode. Hey, if this episode related to you or you think anyone might like it, feel free to send it along their way. We always appreciate if you rate, review, subscribe, but on Apple Podcasts, it's follow. We love spending this time with you today. We can't wait to see you next week, listen to you, talk to you then, and hear all about your wonderful lives, because in order to grow yourself, you got to know yourself.